ain't getting better, they getting worse. Feel the curse, not just the verse, but hoping truth gets dispersed. Spent thousands of dollars on a purse, only to quickly get outdated and faded, feeling jaded, about to burst. Not in tears, cause the years are feeling insignificant. Too legit to quit and always ragging on the president. I'm hesitant, but heaven sent to bring light to the darkness. Sometimes can be discouraged, but focus on the harvest. The hardest part is to guard your heart. Can't trust in our own wisdom, cause it's tainted from the start. We fallen, we fail, missed the mark, hands were nailed. Blinded by sin, the whole world should be reading in braille. But we prevail and yet continue to live in ignorance. Always having the answers, fighting depression with stimulants. When will we as a society reach sobriety? Focusing on IEDs, but don't even know RIDs. Distracted by the bling and the rings, all these things selling our souls to accomplish all our dreams. Huh, it seems, huh, that maybe this world can't fulfill my deepest desires, but that's all you know, so still. You're running drugs, running sex, running people and think that they will fill the empty void, yet the pleasure is gone in a blink of your eyes. Don't be surprised, we all going insane. We repeat the cycle daily, yet yet nothing ever changes. Sometimes we brain dead, knowing what we should do, yet ignoring it for pages of the latest self-help book. But my self-help looks like I ain't got a clue in the world my self-help shook. But it's all good, I just ignore my problems and assume I'm misunderstood. So you grind, you hustle, get to the top of your class. Make more money than others and do your best to make it last. You a king in your own mind. Death is coming and you wish that you had more time. But death waits for no man, no man. And don't care about your plans, because death is out of your hands. But that ain't the end of the story, cause there's glory to reveal. You're hungry for the truth, so I come to offer a meal. Everyone always looks to teachers, cause we gotta learn. It's your turn to follow the teacher who grades on the curve. Cause the test we all fail, but he took the penalty for all of us with three nails. Males and females, this the story that we tell. Free of charge so you can't find it in no retail. The truth to the matter is this proof on the platter. Death or life, it's time to choose the latter. Life is freely given to those willing to receive. We broke the law of God, so Jesus the Christ came to bleed. See, when you break the law, you gotta pay your fine. But God's law is so important that it will cost your life. See, we deserve to die, we deserve to rot. And it's all our fault, cause we know what's calling the shots. No one deserves heaven, even on your best day. But Jesus did it all, we gotta say yes to the sensei. We do things his way and we see God on our side. When we're filled with God's spirit, depression has to hide. So more than just entertainment, you gotta learn today that you must repent, and that means that you must turn away from your evil ways, from the things that God don't want. And when you feel God's love, you will have no need to flaunt. So the choice is yours, tell me which one will you choose. Jesus has his arms wide open, we call that good news. The family of God is open to you on one condition. Surrender your heart to Jesus, cause it's time to transition.
All right, all right, all right. Good afternoon to our radio listening audience. This is D. Smith, your train conductor here at 3T Radio. It is good to be back live. We were not live for the last few weeks. Had a very busy Saturday schedule, so I want to apologize to those who were calling and may have wanted to participate in the conversation, but you had an actual recording that was going forth, and so that's what we do. Every show is live and it's recorded. You can go back and listen to it, and if we don't have time for a live show, what we do is we run a past show, and every show is good, so whenever you tune in, you're going to get something every time. Today, I'm really excited, as every Saturday, to do this. It's a true blessing to be on the radio and to talk about the things that we talk about. 3T Radio is about empowerment. It's about information sharing. It's about just opportunities to exchange and learn from one another. Every time we do a show, I endeavor to bring not only some of the best topics before you, but some of the best talent in our guests that are riding on the train with us. And today, you know, we didn't dumb it down at all. We're turning it up every time. So I'm really excited about the guest that we have today. The guest today is Miss Tiffany Floyd. And Miss Floyd is she's a phenomenal young lady. She's going to talk a lot about who she is and what she does. But she works for ISAC. And for those parents who may have students who are, you know, maybe college bound or may even be in college at this time, and you're looking for, you know, just different options financially to kind of move that process along, or you need a better understanding. You know, college is a decision for the household. And, you know, and sometimes we just kind of put that pressure on the children to make a decision. But the truth of the matter is, it's really parent and child that's making that decision, because, you know, we got to ride with them for the next 4 to 6 years. And so today we got a special guest on here, Ms. Tiffany Floyd, who's going to talk about this process. She's going to talk about the entire process from high school to college. She comes with so much, and I'm really excited to have her with us. Tiffany, how you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
Good. We're so happy to have you on 3T Radio riding with us for the next 40 minutes or so. Tiffany, why don't you do this? I got your bio. Your bio is really, really, really nice. But why don't you kind of personalize your bio? Talk a little bit about who you are, Ms. Floyd, and the organization you work for, and kind of share with the listening audience. What is ISAC? I mean, you know, we've heard it before. Some people may know, some people may not know, but let's assume nobody knows what's going on. So can you kind of personalize your bio a little bit for the listening audience?
Yeah, most definitely. I'm actually a first-generation student. So what that means is that I'm the first person in my family to go to college. With that, I had a lot of difficulties trying to go to college. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know what to do. And that process left me kind of lost. Most definitely, I made a lot of mistakes that I wish I hadn't made. But one of the main reasons I work with ISAC is to work with other students to prevent them from making those same mistakes. And ISAC stands for Illinois Student Assistance Commission. So for parents and students out there, it's the financial aid agency for the state of Illinois. So if any parents or students have ever heard of the MAP grant, the Monetary Award Program, ISAC is the organization that administers that. So what I do is I kind of work with outreach. I go into many different high schools. I work with all age range, so from freshmen to seniors. I help them with all types, every different step of the college going process. So looking for colleges, looking at majors, trying to figure out how that major correlates to a career, looking at scholarships, helping with the FAFSA, anything in relation to going to college I can help them with. So that's more of the reason why I work for ISAC and kind of what we do.
That's some good stuff. That's some real good stuff, Tiffany. I know you talked about the various types of grants. You know, a lot of people, you know, even myself included, when I graduated from high school, I was one of those pretty smart kids. I was National Honor Society. I had some things going. I wasn't always that type of student. It just kind of happened over time, you know, with the maturity and the opportunities. And then I had a good core of friends, my buddy Eric and O'Brien, you know, and Derek. We all kind of held each other accountable. But we had our guidance counselor. Can you talk to the parents a little bit about that dynamic and how important it is for the student as well as the household to kind of connect with the school and hold the school accountable to really, you know, facilitate that grant and that scholarship process? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So what parents could be doing right now is visiting their student school and going to parent-teacher conferences when it's report card pickup, go visit all the teachers, and most importantly, meeting with the counselors and making sure that their student has a working relationship with the counselor, because when it comes to senior year and they need those letters of recommendation, you know, that counselor can give them a good letter of recommendation if they have a good relationship with them. So the parent should be active in the school. They should be supportive of the student's education and the advancement of the student's education as well. Working with the counselors as well can give you a little advancement, because they may come across a scholarship or a grant that they know and say, like, hey, well, let me give Ms. So-and-so this information and pass it along to her. So supporting that the parents be active in the school and active in their student's education as well.
Let me ask you this, Tiffany. Do you find that that's a pretty challenging process? You know, because what you just said makes total sense. I get it. And I'm sure some of the parents that are listening, they get it. But why is that such a hard connection there? You know, it's like, you know, the parents, we know they need to be connected. They need to be involved. But yet that's not happening. And then, you know, we got these kids going off to school and trying to figure it out. You know, they're getting out here. They're wasting money. You know, they're wasting time. You know, why in just in your professional experience, what has been your challenge with that, and can you actually speak to that, why you think that might be a challenge?
That's a really good question. I think what might be going through the minds of many parents is that once they drop their student off to school or the student goes to school, it is then the school's responsibility to advance that student. And I think some parents might think that it's 100% of the school's responsibility. And then what happens is, you know, the parent doesn't have an active involvement in the student, school, or education. So I know a lot of parents, they might probably just think that way, or, you know, some unfortunately don't have an interest in advancing their student's education. So that might be some of the reasons for that as well.
Yeah, that's real interesting. And I think about ISAC, like I met you this past summer, you know, and you were at a conference, and it was funny because I had my summer camp, and we were over at Benedictine, you know, and that's where we met, right?
That's where we met,
and we were there for a campus visit, and then it was this big group of people who were all in the same shirts, and I'm like, okay, they got a pretty large size campus. And turned to find out they all working professionals, and that's where we met. And me, I'm always looking for opportunities to expose things to the young people, and even bring these resources to the parents. You know, Tiffany, talk a little bit about the various roles that you kind of operate in working with ISAC. I know you shared out with me a plethora of things that you do, and I've actually had you to come on the grounds and do workshops with my kids, be a part of panel discussions, and so you're a great, great resource. But kind of share with the listening audience, you know, what you know, the different roles, the different hats that you play in the services that are offered through ISAC.
We have different hats of ISAC core members. I want to say there's probably 100 of us all throughout the state of Illinois. So all of us are recent college graduates. And the reasoning behind that is because, you know, we're not that old. You know, we're 24 to 25 years old. But that still provides us with the chance to serve as peer mentors to the students. So though that we have that experience, the students can still relate to us, and that definitely helps when you're trying to talk to the student and say, like, hey, I experienced this. I know what goes on in college. I've been through the process, so that sometimes they can listen to us when they don't want to listen to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
We also serve as kind of like a supplement to counselors in high school.
Uh-huh.
So we go into the high schools, and we tell the counselors, like, hey, whatever you want to do, if you want to have a financial aid presentation, a FAFSA workshop, we can set that up and we can help you. So we kind of serve as an addition to the counselors to take on any other students or jobs that they can take as well. And we also serve as just like the glue in the community. So we also work in the community as well. We work with libraries. We work with banks. We work with all different types of organizations within the community just to help spread the word about, you know, going to college is important and taking the right steps is important as well.
Wow, that's really good. You know what, Tiffany? We just had one of our students to call in, Mr. Samuel T. Santango. What's up, Sam?
Hi, I'm great. How are you today?
Man, I'm awesome, brother. It is so good to hear your voice. Now, this is awesome because Sam is a freshman in college right now. Here we have Tiffany, who is the ISAC scholarship guru that's now on the phone. Sam, you know, what's your question or comment that you'd like to either pose to Tiffany or share with the listening audience?
I had a comment.
Sure.
A piece of perhaps advice on my college selection journey. Sorry, I haven't been listening. I just called in.
Okay.
My only piece of advice would be to just start early and be proactive. In the entire process. I was one thing that really helped me out. Like all the opportunities, they open up early and they fill up fast, all the good opportunities.
Yes, that's good you said that, Sam. And Tiffany, I want you to speak to that in a minute, but just Sam, so did you, I know you said you were listening. Well, you didn't get a chance to listen, but we're talking about that whole scholarship and that whole college process. you know, just the transition from high school to college. And by you being a freshman now, Sam, you know, I know you shared, like, being proactive and jumping in it really quick because the good stuff comes. It's quick, it's first, and then you want to, you know, grab it really fast. Sam, what type of scholarships did you end up getting, and how important, you know, just from a student perspective, was it for you, for your parents to be involved in that process?
The scholarship at the college that I'm at right now is actually a full ride scholarship. I'm at the Air Force Academy's Preparatory School, so it's a government military institution, and it's paid for by tax money, so I don't have to pay tuition.
Wow.
the college, I initially committed to Case Western Reserve University, and that's a private institution, so we would have to pay tuition. However, because of scholarships, I wouldn't have to pay their tuition there either. I can trace that back to an early application and just making sure that I filled in all the questions that they were looking for in a way that that communicated that I was the type of student that they were looking for, and that required like research on the school, research on what the purpose of that school was. One of its strong suits, Case Western, is its engineering program, and that was one of the things that I was looking for. So communicating that I'm interested in engineering, and this is all that I've done to, you know, distinguish myself as a engineering candidate. That helped communicate that as well.
Among other things. Yeah, okay, and I mean, just the fact that you had a full ride scholarship. Tiffany, can you speak to that? What are some of the things that the students and as well as the parents can do to kind of separate themselves? I know Sam, you know, he got the full ride, and that is so exciting, and Sam, you know, God bless you, man, for what you're doing. You're doing some great stuff, young man. I know you personally. But Tiffany, what will be some things that the parents, you could share with the parents as well as the students that are listening, that they can do to begin to separate themselves and begin to get themselves on that track of that full ride type scholarship opportunity?
Mm-hmm. And just like Sam said, the one biggest thing is starting early. You know, figuring out what your passion is, what school is best for that passion. Start looking for scholarships early. I have a lot of seniors that wait till the last minute, you know, come January, and they're like, oh, give me some information about scholarships. You know, doing what Sam did, starting early, figuring out what your passion is, and figuring out what school is best suited for that passion. And I think that's one of the biggest things students and parents can do now to help prepare themselves.
What about the essay process? Because I was actually talking to one of my students in my program like a week or so ago, and she was kind of a little stressed about just the essay process, and she was just like, man, Mr. Smith, this stuff is a trip. And I was trying to give her some pointers myself, but, you know, I knew we were going to have you on the show, you know, and I told her, make sure you tune in so you can kind of hear. How important is that essay process? And then, you know, after Tiffany shares, Sam, I want you to come back as a person that did the process too and give your perspective on it. But Tiffany, how important is that essay process? What are some things that you think they might need to include maybe in their essays? What are some things they may not need to even mention? You know, what would be some pointers that you would share with the kids as well as the parents when they starting to put that process together?
I think the essay is one of the biggest parts of the application process. When they're looking at your application, they're just seeing a name on a piece of paper or on the computer screen. So when it comes to that essay, it is you bringing your personality out and you showing them, like, look, this is who I am, this is what I stand for, and this is why I deserve to go to that school. So the essay is one of the biggest important parts. And like Sam said again, starting early with that essay, you know, trying to start drafting it now, proofreading. The first draft should not be sent to the colleges. It should never be the first draft. It should be that 10th, 5th, 15th draft. right now over and over and over again until you think it's perfect. And one thing that really, I know, really helps me is, you know, having numerous people to read it. Because give you numerous perspectives of that essay. And actually, one of the numerous things I can do is actually help students with essays as well.
Wow. You know, I was just thinking, when you were talking about that essay piece, and I'm thinking about these writing centers that are on the college campuses. I'm thinking about these academic centers that are even housed in the schools. And our students, they really got to stay away from those places, and that's where they really need to be going. Would you recommend that, Ms. Floyd?
Oh, yes. Most definitely.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, if we, and it's funny because life, the thing about life, and I heard this quote, it'll always stick with me. It said, life really is the worst type of teacher because it'll give you the test before the preparation. You know what I mean? It's like you get the test before you actually get the answers, and that's not good. You know what I mean? And so it's almost like here we are now giving you the answers before the test. We're talking about the scholarship process. So it's so important for those that are listening, make sure that you're writing down these little notes. And another thing is this, before Ms. Floyd is off the show, she's going to, her contact information, you can actually get it off the website, but I'm going to have her to share that out again so that you all can follow up with her. And she's going to talk about even where she's housed, which is over at Triton's campus. And we'll get to that piece. But I really want to encourage you all, young people, you know, because I'm looking at how people text, and Sam, you know, you're a very intelligent young man. I mean, even when you text, man, you use complete sentences, and you know, you know, you got your conjunctions, bro. You got your transitional sentences. So I could tell, brother, you take care of your business. But you know, today we have a lot of people, they texting, and it's interesting because people, they text a certain way, and then they talk the way they text, and guess what? They start writing the way they talk. And you know what? And I think that's a problem. Don't you think, Tiffany?
Oh, yes, most definitely. They can't draw the line to where is this appropriate and then is this not appropriate.
Right. Sam, why don't you talk a little bit about that essay process? How was it for you? Because you're on the other side of it now. You know, how was it stressful?
Oh, yeah.
What was your approach to that?
I'd say like the most important part about that essay component was like, well, what Tiffany said, having multiple people read over, especially English teachers. I bet many people have had that experience where they turn in that English paper and they're so confident about it, and then they get like a C on it.
Yeah.
The worst thing to do is to repeat that experience in the college application process. And that can be prevented by, you know, having your English teachers go over it, because they could tell you all the things that might appear like, you know, demerit and stuff like that. And another really critical component of that about that essay is like Tiffany touched on, it's really how, like, the application really talks about, you know, the stuff that you've done, but that essay gives the people reviewing it an opportunity to see who you are as a human, and just because when you read someone's essay, you could somewhat hear their voice, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, see a little bit more about their character. So that's it's something definitely not to blow off. I'll say that.
You know, Sam.
And then on top of,
go ahead, Sam. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. The one of the other most important things that I would make sure is a priority is making sure that you answer the right question.
Wow.
Even this is something that's important. Everywhere you go in life, making sure you answer the right question. Because you can write a masterpiece essay, but if it doesn't answer the question, you know, it communicates pride and somewhat of arrogance to the people that are reading the essay. Like, oh, this person, you know, they write good, they're excellent, but they don't really care about, you know, what we ask them to do.
Right.
And that's something that really, that's a huge red flag. That's the last thing that you want them to perceive. Now, you know, for some essays, it's more open-ended than other essays, and so I'm not saying that, you know, you have to, you know, write a research paper on, you know, the essay prompt, but, you know, if they ask you to write about, you know, one thing, and don't write about another thing. I learned it the hard way through the college application process, but in AP English, you know, when they ask you to write an essay and you write about something different, no matter how good that essay is, you just lose points. Bringing it to your English teacher, bringing the prompt and the essay to whoever is reading your paper should help you stay on track and on point.
You know what, Sam? You said a lot of good stuff, man, and I apologize for interjecting, you know, but you made a lot of good points, man, and I just couldn't wait to jump in because you talked about expressing yourself in that essay, and it's interesting because, you know, we have another caller, Miss Ebony Oliver, who is not shy with her words. As a matter of fact, she's a spoken word artist. I mean, she's a lyricist. I mean, I Lauryn Hill don't have nothing on Miss Ebony Oliver. Ebony, what's up with you?
Hey, how are you guys?
We doing good. Ebony, you know, we're talking about this whole college piece. We're talking about this transition from high school to college, and we have a guru on the phone, Miss Tiffany Floyd, who I know you met her from the summer, you know, working with us with the Summer Stars program. Ebony, what is your comment or question or feedback that you would like to share as it pertains to this subject matter?
Okay, about transitioning from high school to college, I'm sure you guys, of course, addressed it and went over it. Just staying focused, knowing that high school and college are two totally different walks of life. Mm. The stuff you get in high school, you cannot do in college, especially with, like, homework and papers and essays. The stuff you got, you know, you could just fly with in high school, college is different. For instance, I'm currently taking a level 2 writing course, and my teacher is like, from the periods to the commas to, oh, you didn't use this conjunction right, like, it's more specific. So the things that you learn in high school, don't forget them. Make sure that you refresh during the summer. I know a lot of youth during the summer, they don't want nothing to do with school, but a step in a nugget of wisdom, brush up on some of that stuff, because when you get to college, you are going to wish you had went over it. And so especially with English and math are two things that they look at. So don't just try to do it and rush through it. Make sure you're learning it and you're memorizing that. So when you go to college, it's easier transition than just, oh, this is like a culture shock. You would have prepared yourself in a way.
Wow, Ebony, that's real good, and I truly hope the parents as well as the youth are listening to this and really absorbing this, because, you know, I believe, you know, a lot of people won't experience to be their best teacher, but you don't have to hit your head up against the wall. You can listen to people who have been there and has done it. You know, you can pay attention. You know, our young people, for whatever reason, you know, it's like, you know, we in this culture today where there's not a value on the writing skills and the communication skills and even the presentation. Let me ask you, and I want to start with you first, Tiffany, and then I want to kind of move it around because Sam and Ebony both are in college, and I want to hear from you, Tiffany. How important is presentation? How important is it being able to articulate your words and just that interview process? I mean, does that still exist today, or do colleges just take you, you know, any blow Joe? I mean, is the interview, does it factor in at all anywhere?
I mean, it won't factor in when they first start applying, but, you know, once they start advancing in their classes and they start having to do presentations, and some classes might require them to do internships, it definitely matters. I know I wouldn't have this job right now if I didn't have an internship. So it is a big important part in their college career.
Mm. What do you think is the biggest concern or the biggest challenge that you're seeing, Tiffany, in terms of the presentation of our young people today as it pertains to, you know, moving forward in life? It seems everybody's just kind of, we understand we're living in this hip-hop culture, and, you know, and it's all good. Hey, I grew up in that. I love it. However,
you know, I'm able to differentiate. I'm able to make a decision. Okay, I'm gonna chop it up with the fellas over here, and I'm gonna be professional on this side. What are you seeing, Tiffany, as a challenge today with our young people? You know, making that distinction.
I think they're just not sure of when it should be appropriate or not. I see a lot of students in school who still keep that almost hip-hop culture, and they lack the respect of parents and teachers and lack the fact of, you know, these are people that you should be looking up to and not disrespecting. The line seems to be really thin when it comes to, you know, is this appropriate and is this not appropriate, and they don't seem to know the difference.
Sam, why don't you share? You know, did you have to interview to get to the Air Force Academy? Was there an interview process, or did you find that your ability to communicate was a big deal? Did it make a difference?
Oh yes. Really, what distinguishes the Air Force Academy from any other learning institution is Well, you know, to get into Harvard, you need, like, you know, 36 on your ACT, 4.0. But even if you have that, going into applying to the academy, you might not get in, because they're looking for candidates that distinguish themselves academically, physically, and character-wise. And on top of that, they're looking for people that are able to communicate that. So, that was, I'd say it's harder to get into the academies because, if on top of having those qualities, you need to be able to communicate it. And, so yeah, communication, through applications, through interviews, was paramount in getting into the, academy and prep school.
Wow. Ebony, can you share a little bit on that? Because, you know, not only are you, you know, on that performing arts side, you know, you're a student, you know, you're a working professional. What are you seeing with our young people today as it pertains to, you know, moving themselves forward or even positioning themselves? Because all of this stuff we're talking about is preparation, you know, because opportunities, as we know, are every day. They're around us all the time. But the reason why we miss them is because we're not prepared. We're not thinking advancement. We're not thinking, ooh, today I may go to McDonald's and I'm going to just get me, a cappuccino or whatever, right, and they're going to be hiring. So let me be ready. Let me take my resume portfolio. You know, what's your perspective on this, Ebony? What are you saying with our young people?
What I'm saying with our young people, it's not a – there are a lot of people presented in front of them, but not a lot of people presented in front of them, if you know what I mean, that can be role models. Like, you have a lot, for instance, a lot of youth, they watch TV and entertainment. They bypass what they learn in school. They bypass what they learn in church. And they take what's shown on TV. And with a lot of people that are presented in front of them on the television screen, they're not giving them both sides. A lot of these rappers or actors that come off very disrespectful or unpolished, in their real lives, they may be polished. And so what youth today are taking, they're taking the image, they're taking the facades that are given to them versus trying to learn how to really talk and comprehend as well as express themselves. And I believe that there are more people in front of them that can show them, hey, there's a time to be goofy, but there's a time to be serious.
Yeah.
In my class, I think a few weeks ago, I went from being silly to serious, and it was a transition that my teacher appreciated, because you have fun in college, you do, but there's a serious side. And even if the youth and young adults can see, okay, it's a time for this, but it's a time for this, they'll take you seriously. They don't take you seriously because they're portraying other people who are not serious, who don't know how to transition. So I believe we get more people to stand before them that say, hey, I like to have fun, but I like to get the work done too, I think it will be a whole paradigm shift for the youth of this generation.
Yeah, that's real good. Tiffany, let me ask you something, because we have more kids going away to college now than before, you know, and obviously times have changed, you know, more resources. You know, I'm sure there was a time, like where Sam is at, I'm sure African Americans, it was probably man, it was a wish and a prayer to get up in a school like that. You know, they probably just would not allow it. You know what I mean? And if you applied, you get denied just because of your race, so on and so forth. But we've come along, and thank God for that. Tiffany, even though today we got more people that are going to school, why do you think we have just as many that are failing out? You know what I mean? They're getting there. They've gone through or they've done the necessary things to get to school, but then they get there and then it's not working or they realize they don't like it. I was talking to a parent the other day, and the parent was sharing with me that the child wasn't really feeling school. I mean, you know, smart kid, very artistic, just a wonderful, wonderful kid, you know, brilliant mind, creative, but just wasn't necessarily feeling the school, you know, environment. Why do you think that's the case? And what are some things that, you know, you, Tiffany, could prepare them or maybe share with them? Because I know you do that whole college preparation piece. What would you share to, what would you say to them and the parent?
Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's different factors that could go into that. One could be that they just don't enjoy school. And let's be honest, some students don't enjoy school, but there are different types of colleges. So if they don't enjoy the typical four-year, two-year school, maybe something as in a trade or vocational school would be better for them. And some students, honestly, are just not prepared. Like she said, you know, they get to college and they don't realize that, oh, it's not the same as high school. I can't have the teacher tell me when my homework is due or when this paper is due. And sometimes it's too late when they make that realization that they are responsible for their education. No one else is going to, like, hold their hand and pull them along. They are responsible for it. And by the time they realize it, most times it's too late. So students need to know that from high school to college is a big step. And if they're unsure about the process, they need to talk to somebody who's been through it and get the facts about, like, how is it in college? Is it hard? How do the teachers act? How big is the class, et cetera, so that they can kind of get a feeling of what it is before they step into it.
You know, I like what you just said, and it's a beautiful setup because we got two youth or young adults that are on the phone, and one is at a junior college and one is at a university. And I love it because we got the two different perspectives. And so I think that speaks right to what you're saying, Tiffany. You got to kind of know yourself. You got to really understand yourself and have some idea of what you like to do, what environment is best for you. Because when I went away to school, you know, I went away on a buddy system. It was me and my three boys. And we held each other accountable, you know, Eric, O'Brien, and Derek. And we, you know, we was just like, we're going in this thing together. We're going to finish this thing together. But how many of you all know all of us didn't finish? You know what I mean? You know, you go in there, you know, and I mean, even the professor said, look around at this auditorium right now. You know, half of these students you won't see next semester. Next year this time they won't be there. I don't know if that was said to you, you know, Sam, or to you, Ebony, but it was definitely said to me.
Yeah.
And it was a truth. I'm not saying they were prophets and didn't know it. They were just speaking in the prophetic, but they were basically making sure that we understood just because you're here don't mean you're going to stay. So there's some things that has to happen now. You have to be real intentional about some things. And I want to ask Ebony as well as Sam, how important was it to pick a campus that fit maybe your attitude, your personality type, maybe even your learning style? How important is that? Sam, can you share out first?
Oh, of course. Yeah, it was critical. Because this is college is a huge investment. You're investing at least 4 years of your life. And unless you get scholarships, a lot of money. And more the more expensive investments you're making is your time. And if you're gonna make investments like that, you have to. You owe it to yourself, and you owe it to the people around you, the people looking up to you, that you make the decision and take into account who you are and the type of environment that you work best in. The thing I liked a lot about the Air Force and the Air Force Academy and the environment is the priority of, you know, discipline. you know, and accountability. In my Christian walk, like those were priorities that you know really jumped out to me as you know attractive. Mm-hmm. And even at Case Western, it's an environment where it's very demanding. It's a place where if you're not disciplined, you know, they're not a party school. So if you're not studying hard, they're gonna be like, you know, what are you doing here? You know, sure there are, you know, people at a party, but you know.
Wait, let me back you up for 1 minute, man. You said they're not a party school. You know most people go to school to party now.
Oh, yeah.
They wanna go get their party on, Sam. So basically that type of school at the door to door. If you wanna go out here and do the Dougie, you better just keep on moving, right?
you better You know, I'm not going to say any names of other colleges, but I bet you know some party schools.
Right, right.
But, there's some people here at the Air Force Academy Prep School that came here thinking it was, not necessarily a party school, but not as, you know, disciplined and military as it is. And as a result, you know, they're just not having a good time. Some of them have left,
yeah.
Some of them have, being kicked out, and it's so sad because that looks, I mean, it's so hard to spring back from being kicked out of a college,
yeah,
or just leaving. And so you, if to anybody, you know, applying to college, you owe it to yourself, and you owe it to the people that if you get kicked out, that's a slot that could have been taken by somebody that wanted to go in there. So
yeah.
You owe it to yourself, you owe it to people that are applying to look into that college and see, is this really a place that I see myself studying? Is this really a place that has opportunities that'll help me, that'll keep me on track? And that's a huge, huge priority.
Wow, that's good, man. That's good. Ebony, can you share, because I know Sam is at a military school and it's a university environment. And like he said, it's very demanding there, so I guess it fits for him. But as we know, that's not the case for everybody. And that's why we got so many colleges, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's, you know, people are, they understand that everybody's different in their learning styles. And, you know, and hey, certain people do well, fare better at a smaller institution because they want people to know them by name, and other folk don't care. I could be a number. I know why I'm here. It doesn't matter. Ebony, how important is that, and why, and, you know, how important is that to you as it pertains to your education and the decision that you made?
With the decision I made for this season of my life, I enjoyed picking, I actually go to Triton College. I picked that school because I wanted a school with different nationalities, different races, so forth and so on, and an atmosphere where people were free to be themselves.
Mm.
You come to my campus, you're going to see people in pajamas, which is normal, but, you know, you have people who are free, who can come to class and also still do their daily lives versus a university. It's not one of those campuses where you can actually stay on campus. So it's one of those, as I continue on with my regular life, I'm going to make sure I make education my priority type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I loved it because you have about maybe, I want to say 15 to 25 students in a class, depending on which subject it is, versus 35 to 50. I see that with my learning styles and so forth and so on, that with this size, it's you're able to learn, you're able to ask questions, you're able to go to the professor, set up appointments to talk to him without having 7,000 people setting up appointments as well.
Yeah.
I love the outlook of the school. I love of the school, you know, you have different people, different backgrounds. We all got one goal, and that's to graduate.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's great. I love the different people, the different ages. Something that's different about my school versus the university at times is my school, you have people who may be 18 coming in from high school, and then you may have people, in my case, somebody who's 50 years old,
wow,
also trying to get a degree in the same classroom.
Yeah.
And so being a school that you don't have to stay on campus, you experience people who, you know, when you were being born, you know, they were going to prom. So you have
right.
different people,
right.
different ages.
Right.
And so I think it gives a good vibe.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, so that diversity is there. And like you said, that more smaller, intimate classroom setting that works for you. And I think young people as well as parents, I think it's important. And Tiffany, I'd like for you to kind of give maybe some tips to the parents in terms of how to help prepare your child for college. What will be, you know, maybe your top tips, you know, and I don't know, maybe you got to, you know, I may have caught you off guard with that one, but think about that. But maybe some tips that you would give to parents as to how to help prepare their kids for college, maybe some questions that they should be asking them, because as kids, let's keep it real. Man, only thing we thinking about, honestly, is, man, getting out of this house, sometimes it gets that way. Don't it, Sam? We just like ready to graduate and just get out. Sam, I'm not going to say that because mom and dad probably listening, right? You better not say that, Sam, though. You know, Ebony's saying, well, Ebony, she's doing the community college, so it's more of a commuting situation. But you know what? As students, you know, we looking forward to, we're excited to leave home. You know, we don't always think about, man, am I gonna miss home? You know what I mean? Mom used to do my laundry all the time. Boy, now I have to do this. You know, so on and so forth. Tiffany, what would be some tips, or maybe your top questions that you would give to the parents that you think they should be asking their children?
One of the biggest tips is just to try to expose their students, their children, to different subjects, different classes, not just to the general of what is offered in high school. Let them take a musical instrument up, take them to an art gallery, you know,
wow.
kind of different things so that they can see, well, okay, maybe I didn't like piano, but I love art and I love critiquing art. Another thing, being active in their education. You should know if your child didn't do homework or not. You should know, like, how they're doing in school. And that's honestly.
Yeah.
Parents are busy, but, you know, it's not just the school's responsibility to educate your child. It's
that's
also
right.
your responsibility as well.
You know what, Tiffany, can you, like, say that again, please?
It's not the school's responsibility to educate your child. It's your responsibility as well.
There you go. I like that.
In their students' education, they should know what they're doing. They should know how they're doing in school. They should know some of the teachers, the counselors. They should be able to go into school and not get lost.
Mm.
Some of the things they should be able to do. But that's a couple of tips that I can think of straight off my head.
Okay, no, that's good. And if you think of some others, please, please, please share them. Because, and then also, why don't you share, where are you? Where is your office located, Tiffany? Just for even somebody that's listening, what is the best way for them to reach you? And maybe do you do like public seminars and workshops that people can attend to find out more information?
Yeah, so I actually don't have an office, but I
okay.
do work out of Proviso West, East Leiden, West Leiden, and Ridgewood High School. So
okay.
I'm in the Triton Community College area. I'm all over this area.
Mm-hmm.
We offer workshops, financial aid presentations, FAFSA workshops. We can offer Connect the Dot games, something that is really fun for younger kids, so like
mm-hmm.
freshmen, get them thinking about, you know, what they're interested in. We offer preparing the students for college, which is a presentation for parents. So we can do anything from, like, kindergarten to adult learners. It's
mm-hmm.
a lot that we can offer to students.
That's good. That's good. Let me ask Ebony and Sam, I'd like for you all to share, what would be a class that you wish you would have taken that you know would have better prepared you for college? Or what about sharing a class that you did take and you're glad you took it because it's helped you with college? I think that's a good piece of information to give to some of our students that are listening. Ebony, why don't you start first?
One thing that I wish I had taken were more English and math courses. Like I said before, in college, you get the advanced stuff. And so if I had another class that was going to prepare me, it would have been an easier transition. One of my favorite classes that I took, I believe my first semester, was like Intro to College. And that class was very useful because it taught you, you know, study habits, party life, it did say party life, because realistically most college students, whether it's junior or the university, they don't want to party to a certain extent, whether it's on campus or off campus.
Yeah, because they're still college students, right?
Right, they're still young. You're still a teenager. And so that class really helped me. It opened up, you know, my mind to, okay, this is not high school. This is a little different. It's more responsibility. I have deadlines, quick deadlines. I have 5 to 7 page papers. And so that class was very helpful. I think of everybody took that class the first semester, it would help them with the rest of the semesters while they're in college.
That's good. Sam, what would be a class or maybe some classes that you took and you felt that, man, this was right on point, I'm glad I did it, everybody make sure you take this class because it's going to help you, and what is a class you wish you would have taken, you know, and now that you're in school, you know, you see why you should have taken it?
I'm glad that I took AP English, and I'm glad that I took college prep. It was mandatory at my high school, but I'm so glad that I took it. AP English, this is going to come to a shock, and some engineering majors. But yeah, I'm interested in engineering, but I'd say that English, not math, not science, they're still critical, but AP English contributed the most to my skills in the engineering world, because really all engineering is problem solving with applied science. But that's only the that's
wait,
only
Sam,
the
you said
it.
That's all it is. Like people gonna be able to just pick that up and just run with that. Come on, man. Yeah, that's all it is to you, bruh, because you got an engineering mind, doc. See, I can say that about counseling and psychology. All it is just a study of human behavior. Because I'm a counselor, bro. You know, Tiffany can come back and say, oh, you know, Pilot J is X, Y, Z, and Ebony can come back and say, but, you know, you an engineering guru, bro. I like how you said that all it is, you know, that, yes, you know, so folk don't be all nervous. They can just go ahead and run with it. Go ahead, Sam. I'm sorry.
it's all good. But yeah, that pretty much all engineering stems from that, problem-solving with applied science. And a lot of people make the mistake of just looking at science and math, but they miss the problem-solving part. And to be able to tackle that problem-solving part, you need to have effective communication. You need to be able to do critical reading. You need to do all that. And that's AP English offers that. And so many engineers or people that want to be engineers run away from English thinking, oh, I just need to take chemistry and math.
Yeah.
But when you get up to college, or even in the engineering world, I'd encourage anybody interested in engineering to get their hands on one of the publications made by, like, say, the Society of Automotive Engineers or the Institute of Electrical Engineers or something like that. Basically, like a publication made from like a society of, you know, an engineering group. All that's in there is engineering papers. So engineers do quite a bit of writing. And if you're not comfortable writing, then you're kind of out of luck. You picked up the field. But I definitely encourage, AP English not only sets engineers on the right track, it really gives engineers a great life skill, you know. Communication, I don't know any career where communication isn't important.
Yeah, that's true, Sam.
Do you know any? Or?
No, wow. I don't, bro. I don't, and I'm a career counselor, and I don't. You have to be able to communicate. I'm so glad you said that, because our young people – you know, that communication thing, I'm telling you, it's important, the eye contact, your posture, your dress presentation. You know, I heard a gentleman say this, and again, that stuck with me, you know, forever. And it's all a part of who I am and what I do even with my programs through Teen Train. He said, dress for where you're headed, not where you are. And I mean that spoke volumes to me. You know what I mean? He said, "Dress for where you're headed, not where you are." So, you know, if you know you want to be in business, then get yourself some ties. Get yourself, you know, pull your pants up, you know, make sure that your shirt is buttoned to the top, you know, start your stuff, you know, put it in the cleaning, you know, begin to even get you some business cards, learn, you know, go to some workshops where you can learn how to present, and then, you know, begin to put yourself in places where you can get a mentor, so on and so forth, because, you know, people will see you where you are, and then they can actually begin to help you. You will move in the direction you want to go based on your presentation. And so I think that is so important, Sam, what you just said, the communication piece. And what I want to do now is I want us to go to a quick commercial break, and when we come back from the commercial break, I want the three of you all to be thinking about something that you would like to leave the audience with. And then, Sam, you're going to stay on because we got a special segment we're going to do with you. But right now we're going to go to a commercial break, and then we're going to come right back. Stay tuned.
Attention all gospel artists, it's your man Black Noise, gospel hip-hop producer from Chicago. If you're looking for some of the hottest beats around, check me out at soundcloud.com/blacknoise. That's BLAQNOYZ. And if you're interested, contact me at twitter.com/blacknoise. BLAQNOYZ. Let's work.
Transition Music Volume 1 with classic tracks like Dream On. Gotta prove something.
I gotta prove something.
And gotta have more.
So I gotta have more.
Download the album for free at jitterproductions.com/transition. That's JITA productions.com/transition. Have you transitioned yet?
Okay, we are back live with 3T Radio. Again, today's topic discussion is just that whole preparation, college readiness, the transition from high school to college, some do's and don'ts, some tips and pointers. And we have, I think we got a great panel that's on the call, that's a part of the show today, that's on the train. We got Tiffany Floyd, who works with ISAC. That's the Illinois Student Assistance Commission, right? Did I say it right, Tiffany?
Correct.
Cool. Look, I had to slow it down a little bit. I don't want to sound like I'm crazy here. And then we got my man, Sam I Am, calling in. He's home for break. He's from what school you go to, Sam?
I go to United States Air Force Academy.
United States Air Force Academy. Man, that just sound important, bro. I just want to salute you, man. Look, we dropped the bomb because one of the things that we want to do is we want to highlight. Here it is. Louder than a bomb. All right. Brace yourselves for impact. I love it. Sam is our louder than a bomb person. And what that whole segment is about is it's about us, you know, our young people. The media portrays a lot of negative images of our young people. And what's happening with them. And so, Sam, I asked Sam to be on this segment of the show because noise is being made, and it's being made in all the right places. So, Sam, what I'd like for you to do is share, again, what school you go to, talk about what your GPA was in your first semester, what were some accomplishments that you had in your first semester, and what would you attribute that to?
All right, so I'm at the United States Air Force Academy's Preparatory School. I'll just talk a little bit about the preparatory school before I go in. The preparatory school is designed for people that were initially rejected by the academy, but after a bit more reviewing, they're like, you know, we think they could be, you know, great cadets. But our slots are filled up at the academy right now, so we'll send them to their prep school, and then next year they'll be at the academy. That's where I am right now. First quarter, made Dean's List Actually, I had the highest GPA in the entire group.
Wait, slow down. You made the what? Because you said that so fast. Why don't you say that a little bit slower? What? You made what, Sam?
Oh, Dean's List. And then
What does that mean, Sam?
Dean's List means that you had a GPA of 3.5 or higher.
Wow.
On a 4.0 scale. And then, by grace of God, I tied for the highest GPA in the entire group.
That's awesome, Sam. Congratulations, man. Congratulations. Tiffany, give it up to him, Ebony. Congratulations, man. That's awesome, Sam. You louder than a bomb, man. So you tied for the highest GPA in your group.
Yes.
Wow. Now what would you attribute that to? I know you're a Christian, I know you're a praying man, but we know faith without works is dead. So what did you have to do, bro, to make it happen?
There's one more thing I think I should mention.
Yes, sir.
At the academy, like I was talking a little bit earlier about the application, they grade us on three. Well, at the usual college, they just grade you based on grades. But at the Air Force Academy, they grade you based on your grades, your character, and your athletics. And I also made the equivalent of Dean's List in the military, the character evaluation. We call that MPA, Military Performance Appraisal. So I made Dean's List there, too.
My goodness, Sam, that is awesome. That is so awesome. So tell us quickly, how did you do it? What was the key? What was some, because obviously you had to be disciplined. You know, how important was good study habits and discipline and focus? How did that play into this?
It was extremely important. The biggest, on top of, you know, the grace of God, the most important philosophy that I went in there going with in academics and military is give my teachers and those grading and evaluating me no excuse to give me anything but to give me A's, you know, just give them no excuse to give me anything short of that.
Wow.
It's just that drive to do excellence. And I'd say that that philosophy, you know, when applied, it's explosive, you know.
Hmm.
It really it gets stuff done.
Yeah, kind of like that bomb that was dropping, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Sam, we applaud you, man, for your success, and that was your first semester, right?
Yeah, first quarter.
Second quarter. Okay, so you're getting ready to go back into your second quarter, man. So we just, brother, just speak continued blessings and focus upon you, man, to be able to continue to dominate. And you know, we're so proud of you, man. We are so proud of you. And as we are getting ready to bring the train into the station, what I'd like for I'd like to first start out with Tiffany, and then we're going to go from Tiffany, we're going to go to Ebony, and then we'll close it out with Sam. Actually, you know what? Let me do that in reverse order. We'll close it out with Tiffany. So, Sam, I know you just talked. What would be the two suggestions that you would give right now to student and or parent, the two greatest pieces of advice that you would give just with the whole decision-making process? What would be two things that you would share?
I'd just say be proactive. Be intentional.
Okay.
And just strategic.
Wow.
Just in the application process, see everything that you do as an opportunity to distinguish yourself, as an opportunity to give the admissions person no excuse but to say, this is the type of person we want at our college. And that stems from planning. Identifying the college that matches your passions, and then identifying what they're looking for, their criteria, and then just doing everything you can just to polish it, you know, for essays, you know, having as many people look over them as you can, and just refining everything, give give them no excuse but to say, this is the type of person that we want in our college, and we're going to give them every dime of scholarship money that we can.
Wow, that's right. Have put them in a corner where they have nothing but to say is yes, right?
That's
all they can say, yes, okay, to this person. That's good, Sam. I like that. Be proactive. So to our listening audience, be proactive, be intentional, and be strategic. You know, one of the things we do, this kind of reminds me of the STARS program, because that's exactly what we do. We're being proactive, we're being intentional, we're being very strategic, because just like we teach them the resume, the research, so on and so forth, all that is about projecting, understanding who you are, what you want to do, so that you can present that. So, Sam, that's real good. Ebony, what would be something that you would share out to just the listening audience, both parent and student?
Stay focused. And everything you do, from the transition to high school to college, even in college, stay focused.
I love it.
Like you say, everybody else is going to be there. Make sure you take care of your business first. Make sure you stay focused. And also, while you're in, I use this word very like, have fun. Enjoy learning. Enjoy looking at the outcome of where you are now. Like you said, you know, just where you're going. Learn for where you're going. If you know you plan to be the CEO of a company, learn what you need to learn now so when you get there, it'll be an easier transition even from college to the corporate world. So make sure you stay focused and have fun.
Yeah, I love it, Ebony. I love it. I think that's key. And that's something we all need to learn how to do, is enjoy the journey. Enjoy the process. You know, we can work. We can work. But I tell you, even the scripture shows us that on the seventh day, God did what, everybody?
Rested.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't read that in the book. Yeah, he did. He rest, okay? So it's important, young people, parents, you know, enjoy the process. And Tiffany Floyd, you know, as you are rounding us out here, what would be some don'ts and some do's for the parent and or the student? What would you say to them, Tiffany?
My two main ones would be for the student to know themselves. Know what kind of environment you thrive in. Know how you learn best. Know everything about yourself. Know your passions. Know how, what you hate to do, what you love to do. And my second one would be, don't be afraid to make mistakes, but make sure that you learn from them, and make sure that when you learn from them, you don't make the same ones over and over again.
Wow, I love it. So just to recap, be proactive, be intentional, be strategic, stay focused, have fun, know yourself, and don't be afraid to make mistakes. Just don't keep making the same mistake. So to our listening audience, I hope and I pray that you were blessed by what was shared today on the show. I most certainly was. Every time I do this show, it's a blessing for me, because I get, first of all, the opportunity to talk to some of the greatest people doing what they do and learning in the process of doing what they do. I mean, that's what life is all about. And so I say to our listening audience, young people, you are embarking on some of the greatest years of your life. High school is a fun time, and I'm sure everybody on the phone, we can all attest to that. You know, Miss Floyd, myself, we've been in high school. You know, Ebony and Sam, recent high school graduates and college doing their thing now. And I love the two different perspectives, the junior college and the four-year university/military type environment. You have to do what works for you. To our young people, don't be ashamed of who you are. If you like music, if you like athletics, if you like chemical engineering, whatever it may be, don't be ashamed of it. Embrace it. But like Tiffany said, know it. Understand it. So research it. Begin to connect yourselves with people who are in the industry. Learn the ropes. Learn the process. And then ask yourself those real tough questions. Am I willing to make this type of commitment? Because, you know, when you look at people who are actually in the industry, only thing you're seeing is the end product. You don't know the journey. And see, that's where you have to research for yourselves. So I say that, and I say to the parents, be a part of that process with the child. Challenge them to go out and learn. If they tell you they want to be an engineer, ask them the question, what does an engineer do? Give me the day in review. What is the day on the job? What is the income potential? What is the academic track? Ask them those type of questions so that they can go and become a student of the discipline. And these are the type of things that we do at Teen Train. We take these, we put these questions in front of our students so that they can research and, like Sam said, be real strategic about what they're doing. And like Ebony said, stay focused along the journey. And ultimately, like Ms. Floyd end up saying, knowing what they like and what they don't like. So this is your train conductor with 3T Radio saying to you, God bless you. We appreciate you. And we will see you next week. But before then, thanks again to my special guest, Ms. Tiffany Floyd with ISAC. Tiffany, Tiffany, before you leave, really quick, can you give the listening audience your contact information?
Okay. Cell number is 815-641-3089. You can text or call, and you can find my email on ISAC.org. It's kind of a long email.
Okay, great, 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 great. And to Ebony, Ebony, thank you so much. Take your time out your busy schedule.
You're welcome.
I know you probably on your way to do a spoken word presentation at the Dwayne Wade Foundation. You know, I know that's how you roll, girl. And Sam, I am down there dominating, just saying how simple engineering is. You know, I need you to break that down for me, Doc. You know, he said, you know, engineering is really simple. Well, okay, Sam, simple to you, bro. Sam, thank you. And again, we applaud you, man, for making the Loud in the Bomb segment. Keep blowing it up, Sam. We love you, man.
I love you, too.
All right. Okay. And to our listening audience, God bless you. We will see you next week with 3T Radio.
Yeah. Of this world ain't getting better, they getting worse. Feel the curse, not just the verse, but hoping truth gets dispersed. Spend thousands of dollars on a purse, only to quickly get outdated if they feeling jaded about the